Thank you. I don't know how you experience this time of year. I mean, this particular week that we're in the middle of. I was just talking to someone earlier and we were saying, don't even sometimes know what day it is. And it can sometimes feel like that during this time, not maybe for everybody. But I was thinking, it feels to me like almost like an air pocket within the year. And I felt God say to me this morning, this is like a decompression chamber this week for me. So I'm sharing it with you because it might be for you as well. And if you kind of don't know where you are and where you're at and what's up and what's down, and, you know, that just rest in this place as though it was a decompression chamber, changing you from one place into another, from one year into the next. And where God is adjusting the pressure so that you can walk into the next bit able to breathe the right kind of air. If that makes sense to you, then you can have that. Yeah, so it does feel a bit odd sometimes. But I'm here to talk to you today about vision. Particularly vision with a mind for the 40 days of prayer and fasting. We might not necessarily be fasting the whole 40 days, probably not, that we're about to walk into together. And this period of time is going to start on the 6th of January. It's going to be 8 weeks where we, as a church family, are going to pray, sometimes together, sometimes on our own, for 5 days... of each of those 8 weeks. And we're going to have opportunity as well to get together each of the Wednesdays, and it's going to just be a great time. Is it all right if someone could get me a glass of water, a cup of water, please? Thank you. So I'm very, very excited about this time, but I wanted to share with you this morning about how God has been changing my mind over some very long period of time now about prayer and what it is. Thank you.
Bless you.
Gratefully received. Thank you. That prayer has become more for me, and what I'm going to share with you this morning is my journey. I can only share with you with any authority what I am or have walked through. So this may not be the case for you, but I just, you know, receive what God wants to speak to you through what I say this morning. So God has changed my mind and my heart about prayer, and or is in the middle of doing so. And prayer has become for me more about a conversation. I spoke a few weeks ago about saying hi to Jesus, saying hello, sitting down, have a cup of coffee with him. This is kind of where he's taking me. It has become, or is becoming, my most favourite place and my most nourishing place to be in my whole life. Now, in the past, I would have wanted it to be that. I may have believed it could be that, but the truth of the fact was, my prayer life wasn't that for me, but it is now becoming this. It's becoming the place I know when I need to be. I need to be setting time aside. It's becoming the place that actually feeds and nourishes me for the day ahead and for the time I'm in. And what he's leading me into is being in that place all the time and teaching me how to do that. So what's new for me in this is they're becoming my reality, and it's not just my theology. Okay, so not my idea about what it should be, but actually what I'm walking. And the main difference has been for me to be seeing. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So seeing in the heavenly realms and engaging with what I see. So this, when I say seeing, I'm not talking about necessarily having a picture. I'm not talking about my visual perception. I'm talking about seeing as in knowing, understanding, perceiving in the spirit. So for an example of that, I would spend time with God and he will bring to mind, he will show me a person or a situation, and I will know to engage with him, with that person or that situation, in prayer, in conversation with him, or even in actions in my days. Okay. I might have to cut some of this down, so. And another example of that for me has been, so how do I see and then walk with what I see? This period of time over Christmas, God has shown me that this is going to be a time for me of quiet and of rest. Not necessarily in how much cooking I do and how many people are in the house, by the way. I'm talking about what's going on in here. Okay, we've had loads of things going on, but he's shown me that in here, this has been a time of quiet and of rest, okay, which is different for me to other times. And I've been keeping on with him, with what he's shown me over the last few months, holding fast to his hand. And it's looked like, for me, a time with less revelation. Okay, certainly less words. Yet I trust what God is doing, and I trust, I know what, that he knows what he's doing, and I'm walking through this time knowing that's what season I'm in. Does that make sense? So that's just an example of how I can see and then walk in what I see. So over this 40 days of prayer for us all, this is an opportunity for all of us, or for any of you who might be, whose ears might be pricking up and saying, hold on, I like this, to have an opportunity to start or to continue this kind of a walk. Okay. So I'm here to talk about vision. And I want to share this morning, something that is straightforward and might be different to what you may have heard before when we talk about vision. Okay. I'm going to read a verse, although I haven't written down where it is. It's in my other notes. Okay. You can tell me, perhaps. Because I know there's people here that when I read this, you'll go, oh, I know where that is. Oh, here it is. It's Proverbs 29, verse 18. Okay, in the NASB, I'm going to read it from a number of versions, okay? I'm going to start with the NASB. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Okay, and then the verse goes on. Okay, but we're going to go with that bit for now. Now, my previous interpretation of this was, right, I need to set a vision for my life and go with that. So I'm going to hear from God, for example, get an idea of what he's going to ask me to do, set a vision for it. So this is what I want to achieve. This is how I might do it. This is how I might bring other people to be involved. And then I'll go off and do it. Okay, that's how I interpreted that verse. And that we all need vision statements, okay, like a business vision statement. Okay. But God is changing my mind about this. And I want to read some other versions. So in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation, the people are unrestrained. In the Amplified Version, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. And in the Message, if the people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And the last bit, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So in those interpretations, a different idea about what vision is starts to unfold in my heart. And it starts to look a bit like, more like what he's teaching me in prayer about seeing. It's an interpretation that speaks about revelation, about being able to see what God's doing. So for this 40 days of prayer and fasting, it can be tempting for a leadership team to start to set the agenda. We know God's asking us to do it, so then we can sit down and write the vision and tell you what we expect and what we'd like to see. And it's all in perhaps a really good heart, but there's something different, I believe, that God wants to unfold to us. And to some degree, we do that. We do that to help to structure the time. We've done that in saying we're going to meet on a Wednesday, and I've got a booklet I'm going to be giving out to you guys. Here's a booklet to kind of give you an idea where we're going, because we all want to do this together. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's our vision? What's our vision for what God is going to do during this time? Am I going to set that? Am I going to prescribe that? This has also been true for me in my own life. God is changing me from needing to prescribe what my aims and goals are for all the things he's calling me into. It's actually changing me from needing or even wanting that to being able to walk in seeing and engaging and doing what I see. So the Bible says we need vision in order to know what God's doing, in order to walk in his purposes, in order to live in joy. This is true for the 40 days, and this is true also for all of our kingdom living. So the 40 days of prayer is an opportunity for us to set time aside to learn, continue our journey of learning how to do this. Okay, so Jesus, do you think Jesus had a 5-year plan? Had he got it set out? Okay, this is what we're going to do. First, we're going to do that. We're going to go there. We're going to sort those guys out. Going to go down there, challenge a few things in there. Did he have that? Well, it gives us a bit of a clue in John chapter 5, verse 19. And it says, the Son can do nothing. And Jesus, this is Jesus speaking of himself. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, as in whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. So that isn't a 5-year plan. That is present tense, whatever he sees the Father doing, he does. In now, in the this moment. Not next week, not my plan for this trip here and the trip there, but in this moment, what do I see Father doing? And I want to join in with that. This is the vision that we were created to live in. And I can tell you from experience, this brings such rest and it brings such joy. Because what do I do when I have a 5-year plan or even a 1-week plan or a 2-month plan or the whatever? What I do and have done is kind of got, like I said, an idea from God. God, I believe you're telling me to do this. Okay, what kind of things do I believe you might want out of that? And now how am I going to go and do it? And with each of those steps, I'm stepping away from the Father's heartbeat, from seeing what he's actually doing. And then I'm running with a vision that I've kind of made up. This is me. And this is independence. And this is what brings all sorts of not great things, including stress and anxiety and those things as well. So it can feel quite safe and nice to do this pattern of living. I see what God wants me to do. I make up an idea of what it might be and what his heart is for it, and then I run with it. There's something of safety there. So we're led to believe. Because the question is, do we want the kind of vision that Jesus had where he saw what the Father was doing and did it? I just want you to spend a moment now thinking what that might look like for you, for me. What it might look like to go moment by moment, seeing and joining in. It might raise some questions. What about my job? What about my finances? Or what about parenting? I've got responsibilities. I can't just... Perhaps those things might come to mind. Or what about this thing I really, really want to do in my life? I really like this. I really want to do this thing. I want to tell you now that if you want to live like this, the way Jesus lived, there's a cost involved. And the cost is everything. But I also want to tell you that what we gain is everything and everything. When you start to think about mathematics of infinity, it's quite fun. Infinity plus one is what you get. Okay. What we get is we've got to live in what we have been created to live in, what we were designed to live in, and it is the most exciting, the most fulfilling place you could ever, ever imagine. Just think about how our minds and how we can make plans and ideas of the best. Think of the best thing you could think of, how the best life you could imagine yourself living. Maybe you're a kind of person that loves a cruise and you can imagine the best kind of life would be living on a cruise ship. I don't know. Just imagine. Or, you know, maybe the best kind of life is going out and speaking the word of God and every person being saved. Maybe your best kind of life is just peace and rest every single day. Just imagine. Now imagine that God's imagination is bigger than your imagination and he has more than that for you. It's really fun. And the cost is everything. Because we're saying, I'm going to lay down my agenda and I'm going to step into yours, God. Which I think most of us might remember that us saying a prayer at one point in our lives that went along those kinds of lines. He's going to keep challenging us with that for our whole lives. And how do I receive this vision? How do I receive this kind of walking like Jesus? How do I walk in that? How do I do that? How did Jesus even do that? Well, first, he wanted it. And sometimes we have to get honest with ourselves about how much we really want that. And if you want it, that's great. That's a good start. I heard someone speaking the other day about, she was talking about, it doesn't matter what she was talking about. It's a long story. But basically she said, we only ever really do what we want to do. We can kid ourselves, but in the end, we'll only be doing what we want to do. We can try and do things like, that we don't really want to do, but that's called willpower, and it doesn't really, actually willpower is a fallacy, it's not a thing, it doesn't work, because you're pushing your own will against another will in yourself, and the stronger will win. Okay, does that make sense? We'll eventually only ever do what we want to do. And so the hunger is key. Do we want to pay the cost and live in that moment by moment following what God is asking us to do? Sometimes we don't know straight away, but we want a bit of it. So we take one step and we want a bit more and then we take another step. And he's so good. He wants it more than we do, so he'll lead us there if we want it a bit. For me, how do we receive this? We receive it in the same way we receive anything in the kingdom, and that's by faith. Okay? And for me, faith looks like this. Okay? There's nothing here, no ground, but I know God's leading me there. So I take a step. There's still no ground. And as soon as my foot lands, the ground comes up underneath my foot. That's how I can describe faith, because that's how I'm starting to see how it looks. Okay. So it really is, until the moment when our foot hits what he's putting under us, it's like we're walking into nothing. And that might sound scary, but what he does is he teaches us and shows us so gently and beautifully that he will put the ground there, that challenge becomes easier and easier and easier, and never once has he ever failed to put the ground under my feet. And the first step, I didn't quite know if he would. The second step, I was a bit unsure, and as I go forwards, I know that he provides the ground, he provides what we need to do the things he's asking us to do. The journey is, it's like a learning curve. But it's a practical course. It's not a theoretical course, okay? So the journey for me has been this practical apprenticeship, so to speak, going to him and finding out how to do this. So I'm not going to stand here and say this is how Jesus did it, because you know what? It's going to be different for every single person here, because that's how good he is to us. And because he perfectly packages the revelation for you, and he perfectly packages it for you, and he perfectly packages it for you, because what I can do here is speak about what I can package, how I can explain it, how I can put it together to help you to understand. What God does for each of us is he speaks directly into each of our spirits, which he created and he knows better than any of us, and it impacts us in a way that actually brings about change. Okay, so this is why there's not like a 101 course that you can sign up to and pay a bit of money and learn how to walk in this kind of vision. This is you saying yes to him and going on the journey with him and going on the course with him. Because he will provide for you everything you need, all of the course equipment, so to speak, and all of the practical. He will provide it all in the word that he gives to you and that he puts in and deposits into your spirit. And so what I'm doing now today is whetting your appetite for something. And I'm encouraging you that as a church family together, we can walk this journey, and it looks different for all of us, but he has the most amazing way of bringing it together into a beautiful picture. I hope I'm making some sense here. So this learning curve is me and Father with the Bible as the plumb line. This isn't away from the Word of God. This is the Word of God made flesh in me. The Bible is my plumb line. Bible is how I know I'm hearing from the heart of Father. What's it like? It's unexpected. It's challenging. But it's the most restful place I've ever lived. And how do I position myself to receive this kind of vision? Okay, so this is where I have come to realize that there is a time of me setting aside purpose and time to receive from him and to hear from him and to see what he's doing so that I can partner with that. So there's been a sacrifice of saying, okay, I need to set this time aside. I need to go and pursue him in a different way to my everyday walk, which of pursuit of him. Does that make sense? So I'm walking every day and he's walking with me, and I'm aware of his presence and he's speaking to me all the time and he's showing me things and it's incredible. But there's a time when he says it's time to come away and see, and I want to show you something. Okay. And so, yeah. That place of setting aside has become more and more of a desirable place for me to be as I've gone through the journey. Okay. And prayer has become less of me talking and more of me listening and seeing. And that's good as well, because I'm kind of can be a bit like this. And I've been received, and I in that place can receive kingdom vision, and walking in what I'm seeing and allowing it to transform me. Okay, so there's a biblical, this has a biblical foundation to it. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and I have Ishmael to thank for teaching me these words in one of his songs. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this is how, standing before him with unveiled faces, transforms us and enables us to walk in the purposes he has for us. This isn't lazy prayer, okay? There has been, for me, during this process, quite a large amount of healing that I've had to go through in order to take those masks off says, talks about unveiled faces. For me, it was about saying, I take off the mask that I'm hiding behind. And he's taken me through various ways, through a process of being able to do that, so that I can be more and more transformed into his likeness. And so, these weeks of prayer that are coming up can be for us intentionally choosing a lifestyle of us seeking his vision, us seeing or hearing, sensing or knowing what he's doing and stepping into what he is doing. It's easier. I'm taking some time to explain this. It's very hard to explain. It's actually easier to do it than to explain it because of what I was talking about earlier. The package of revelation he gives us is so personal to us. So when we walk into this, we take what we see and we step into it and we take hold of it and we walk with it. And we ask him, what's the next step for this? I've got an example for you, okay? I've got an example for you of something he's shown me. So I had a lie bust a number of years ago. And during the glory part of that lie bust, so the time when God was showing me and giving me things, he showed me a room in which it was like a store cupboard full of food, okay? And he said, you have access to this store cupboard full of food, and I want you to feed people, okay? So he said to me, when you cook food for people, you aren't just nourishing their bodies, but you're nourishing their spirits as well. So that's what he said to me. Now, I took that and walked with it. I first chose to believe that was him speaking to me, which can sometimes be the first challenge. But you know, when we seek him, when we do this and we start to ask to hear more of what he wants to say to us, he looks our hearts, okay? So if it's something that is a good thing, cooking food for people is a good thing, he knows our hearts, okay? So if I say, I'm going to believe that you told me to do that, God, and I'm stepping into that, he sees my heart of obedience, okay? So don't worry too much about getting it wrong, all right? So he told me to do that, so I cooked food for people. And as I'm cooking for people, there's such a welling up in me is such a hope and an excitement because I know I'm not, this isn't the fill-in between doing the works of God. This is actually purposed in the kingdom for me to be doing here. So I know as I'm chopping carrots, I'm doing the work of my Father. How exciting is that? Isn't it amazing? So, and when people come around for food, I know that there's not just their bodies being nourished, but their spirits as well. And I'm just trusting and believing that. And then I start to see the fruit of it. But I don't just take that and then set a vision about it. And now I'm going to do this meal for that person, this meal for that, and off I run. I stay in communication with Father about it. I stay in connection with him about it. And in the process of that, he has done so many things. So he has moved my store cupboard from one location to another, which is even bigger. And is actually, he says, there are infinite supplies of food available for our family. So there he's like moving on this vision, okay? He has, in stepping with him, so I could have, I love baking. I enjoy baking. There's been opportunities for me to use baking in various different ways, teaching people, selling my products. And I started to step down that vision road of, okay, let me write a business plan and see if I can make some money from this. And I knew I knew God was saying, stop being independent. Come back to my heart. So as soon as I hold his hand on it, he starts opening up doors that don't really make much sense to me. So there's a door opened where I teach people how to bake, and then that door closes and the thing moves on. And someone that I met there says, would you like to come and make macarons and sell them in Chichester Farmers Market? And I'm like, I believe God's showing me that this is the next step for me. Yeah. People are saying, well, what's your business plan? How did it go at the farmers market? Did you make loads of money? No, I lost money, but it was exactly what I was supposed to be doing. So it was absolutely amazing. So in the process, he's taking me through getting the kitchen checked, doing all my hygiene courses and certificates. None of this is from my business plan. This is from walking step by step with the Father. And I'm excited to say I have no idea what next thing is and where it's going to go and what it's going to look like. All I know is I'm walking with him. And it's so exciting. It's so restful. And it's so much fun. And it's his vision unfolding. Okay? Do you see what I mean? Okay. And I just spend a lot of time in his presence, not really saying anything. And I just want to tell you and encourage you, this is legitimate prayer. We do have conversation, me and Father. We have conversation all the time. But I want to just encourage you and say, sitting with an unveiled face in his presence, allowing him to transform you from one degree of glory to another, is legitimate prayer. If you only do that, and you don't ever have any words to say, you are encountering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's okay for you to trust that he knows what he's doing. It's okay for us not to always understand the whys and the wherefores. In fact, for me, that's been one of the costs. Just wasting time with him is legitimate prayer. And we've got an opportunity to do this as a church family. And I dare you, I encourage you, I challenge you to go after his heart during this time. And I know that as we do that together, I absolutely know that the treasure, that the fruit and the outworking of that will be beyond our imagination and will be beautiful and so good. I know it. And I just want to now, in the next just few minutes, just finish off with an opportunity to engage with what I'm saying right now. And if you don't want to, it's so totally fine. I mean that, okay? It's nothing. If you kind of don't feel like this is for you for now, that is totally okay and good, okay? But if you feel like you would like to step into some of this or step further in, because there's always more, that infinity thing is still blowing my mind. Do you know what we found out about a black hole the other day that is, Poppy might remember, 284 billion miles across, is that right? A black hole in space. So just start thinking about infinity. God has always got more, is what I'm trying to say here. There's always bigger, there's always better. Okay, so if you're already on this journey, keep pursuing more. Okay, and I'm just going to pray or invite us into a prayer time together. So it's kind of an activation of what I'm talking about here. Okay, and if you'd like to do this, then you can do so in your own heart. Okay, and if any of the children, even if you haven't really heard what I've said, I know that some of our guys understand some of this stuff. If you want to come and join in with this, then please do. This is for everybody. Okay. So, Father, I choose to step into your presence right now. I trust and I believe that you have made this way freely available to me. And I trust and believe that just by choosing to engage with you, I am here with you right now. Even when I don't feel it. Oh God, I am sorry for the times I've taken the vision for my own life into my own hands. And I'm sorry for setting my own agenda. Will you please show me right now an area where I have set the agenda that hasn't been yours? Lord, as I come before your throne, I lay this area of my life at your feet. And I choose that you be Lord over this area of my life. Father, will you show me your heart for this thing? Will you show me your vision for this area in my life right now? I don't want to interrupt what God's doing, so stay with it. But I just want to encourage you that you may be hearing or feeling or sensing a word, just one word at this time, or it may be a picture or a sense. It might make no sense to you right now, but I just want you to choose that as he shows you things, to believe that it's him. And whatever it is he's showing you in your mind's eye, I want you to take hold of that thing. In whatever way you feel you can do that, or step into it. Father, I thank you for showing me this, and I choose to take hold of it. So this picture or word or sense that you've just received can be your starting point. You can come back to this. You're allowed to ask questions about it. You're allowed to find out more about it. I just above all want to encourage you to just believe that he's shown you something. If you sense something just then, believe that that was him and take a step into what he's shown you and keep going.